Hello, and a bit overdue, but here we are again with another Connected Consciousness update, or this time it's a bit more of a proper podcast. So we'll have the questions from all of those CC members on MeWe Pro. So thank you very much indeed. Let's get going. First thing I'm going to start off with would be the Father's Day broadcast or video that President Trump did with his son, Donald. And maybe many of you have had the opportunity to see it, and if you haven't, then I strongly, think you should watch it. It's only something like 15 or 20 minutes long, but it is very important for a number of reasons. And the two that I'm going to pull up at the very end, he's asked about aliens and Roswell, and to my knowledge, he's the first president who was not immediately signed it off as nonsense. So when he's asked the question, he doesn't say it doesn't exist or that's all fanciful. He actually says that he's asked that question many times. He said there are a lot of very interesting people in Roswell. He said, he says, I, meaning him, I am not really going to talk about what I know. So not only do we get a sort of an agreement that something special is happening in Roswell, but we're definitely getting no denial, and that's really important. Okay, the second point is he talks about the virus, which he calls the plague, and unfortunately, and we agree with him that he does mention that there's a second wave coming, second viral attack on the way. So those are the two key points. There's many other key points there, but there's the two key points I want to flag there. And it's quite nice to see the president not having to fight against hysterical media, and he can just be a bit more relaxed, to be a bit more friendly, and have time with his one of his sons. So that's quite nice for people who perhaps don't know President Trump the man. So that's the first one. I want to move on to that old chestnut, the false flag, but this time false flag alien invasion, or indeed the second coming of Christ. This has been on the table, then off the table, then on the table, and then off. It's back on the table. The very difficult to predict and difficult to understand cabal. The deep state, as they're often called, are now pushing for something like that. If you think about 9/11 and how the more advanced aspects of Project Bluebeam were used, and technology has moved on incredibly since then. And so, yes, there are serious moves afoot now to bring back out that possibility of a fake alien invasion, or the coming of the second coming of Christ. And both have its supporters amongst the elite, and both have its detractors. But why that's really become quite center stage now is because they've run out of options. The virus was supposed to have toppled the president, and it didn't. I could say that they thought the impeachment would have done that, or the Russian hoax campaign. All of these things haven't worked, and so they are left with the topics that they have been toying with for years. And those of you who have got good memories and perhaps can remember 7+ years ago when I talked about schools in Great Britain who were running through training programs so that the young children from the age of about 5 to maybe 10 years old were experiencing mock-ups in their play areas. They were being told that a spaceship had crashed and that they were all taken out to the playground, the yard, and there was a made-up spacecraft that had crashed. And I really hammered home as much as I could. If the government tells us that there's no such thing as aliens, why then do schools, which are funded by the government, why were they running these projects of supposedly smashed alien spacecraft in the school's grounds, and the school children had to go and observe them. So it was all part of a cabalistic elite program to seed into young minds that an alien invasion or an alien crash was real, so that when and if they brought forward this projected alien invasion, and supposedly in the coming war between this fake aliens and the cabal military, spacecraft would seem to be crashed, those children who were perhaps 8 years old and are now are 15, 16 years old, they have this framework, this blueprint, in which they will go back and say, oh yes, when I was at school, we trained for this. So it's a very well tried and used form of propaganda. The Nazis, although not using spaceships, the Nazis used propaganda for their young people, so that by the time they were of military age, they were already indoctrinated. So it's a very tried and trusted method for these people. So be alert now for the serious possibility of one of those two things happening. Just very quickly, got some interviews coming up which you might want to catch. They've not yet been recorded. I guess that they'll come out. I'm doing one with Gareth Icke, David Icke's son, and that'll be a really nice and a pleasure for me to do that. Got another one coming out which has a number of members of the audience and members of the speakers as well there. Some of them are live, some of them not. But one of the particular speakers that I'm doing a meeting with, if you like, is Laura Eisenhower, someone that I've had a great deal of respect for, and never really got the chance to have a proper debate with her or talk to her, although we've shared a lot of information over the years. Another one with Camelot TV, not to be confused with Kerry Cassidy's Camelot series or Project Camelot. This is to do with King Arthur and Camelot and the Round Knight. So it's based in Cornwall, so that's of course traditionally the land that King Arthur had come from, and that's a TV station that's done some really good interviews, and again I'm really happy to do an interview with them. So that's going to keep us a little bit busy. Just very, very quickly, just trying to keep everyone up to date, and the move to the US, and when that becomes more firm, we're going to have a sort of a farewell party, can I call it that, here in Britain for all of the CC members. Certainly, obviously, only a small proportion of you will be able to attend, but it will be open to everyone. We've got to find a venue. It won't be a conference in the true sense of the word. It's more of a celebration of what we've achieved here in the UK. And I want to personally get round and thank as many people. And so will Becky, actually, who's played a tremendous role in building up the framework and the structure here in the UK, as indeed she has done in other countries. So as we approach a more firmer date for our move to the US, then we will begin to publicise and get the details for that celebration. I don't want to say farewell, really, but it's a celebration of what we've achieved so far in the UK, and that's important to me. Talk about this, the second wave, we've mentioned it a little bit. It's not happening in Wuhan. The second wave has started, this time in Beijing, in China. Beijing's a little bit more serious than Wuhan because there are about 20 million people. So that's much bigger than London. So 20 million people, and Beijing have, the communist government have locked down all of the schools in Beijing. There must be quite a few schools if there's a population of 20 million. And so they've gone into full lockdown. Now, if the Chinese can do better than they did last time, then they might be able to contain it. If they don't, it's going to happen all over again. Now, the established media are only giving very little coverage to this, but there are some established media newspapers that are covering it. One was the Daily Telegraph, about 4 days ago, did half a page to it. But most of the main medias are under pressure from the elite not to talk it up at the moment. It's not suitable for them. But please be aware that even the established media are now being forced to report that there's a second one coming. And for your entertainment and my entertainment, the Chinese Communist Party have declared that the second wave of virus has been caught from fish, salmon fish. Even that corrupt organization, the World Health Organization, has actually had to come out and say there's probably another reason for it. So even they couldn't buy the Chinese version. So according to the official news, it's been fed out everywhere. This second wave of virus, which has just started in China, has come from fish, but not any old fish, salmon fish. So, you know, we'll never get any truth whilst the Chinese Communist Party is in power, and they'll probably be there for a long time. Just for those of you who perhaps didn't catch when I was speaking on the Ted Mar show, and perhaps haven't been up to speed with it, the owners of the radio station in Seattle in America that I'm, you know, go on twice a month and do my talk, if you like, they actually said to Ted Mar that they thought that Ted Mar was too political. And when Ted sort of questioned them, "What do you mean?" he said, "Well, you're too pro-Trump." And as a person myself who's quite pro-Trump, I wasn't really very welcome there. And Ted was told, "Well, if you don't sort of tone it down, you don't get rid of your speakers, and if you don't change your tack, we're going to pull your station." Well, all credit to Ted. He refused to drop me or drop anyone else and to carry on, and so they've pulled it. I think there's one more show, and he's moving to produce out of California, where we're hopeful that the people behind that radio station will be a bit more supportive of free speech. So what I'm hoping is that Ted will send me a link. I'll put that on the my website, because if you go to TuneIn, you won't find him there anymore. So free speech is dead in Seattle. Not surprising, really, because that's where the governor pulled out many police from a particular precinct. Remember that in America, they police by precincts. And just left the demonstrators to it. And according to main media, all you see is a lot of people walking along. Well, the reality is, if you live downtown, you know that many shops have been literally burnt out, torched, looting. And I find it quite bizarre, because many of these shops will have employed local people, some of them black, some of them not black. And so these agitators have destroyed the livelihood of countless numbers of people who perhaps had nothing to do with politics of any sort. And so we have two sorts of demonstrators, don't we? We have demonstrators who have a legitimate right and a legitimate grievance to demonstrate, and those who are actually just there to throw petrol bombs, smash windows, and attack the police. And how that can win votes for the Democratic Party is beyond me. And I will repeat it. I've had three separate people send me links saying, you know, action against the racist statues, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then underneath it's campaign to remove President Trump. So these aren't really demonstrators organizing this because they believe in emancipation or freedom. It's all about removing President Trump. And I've had some credible information that some of these funds of money going to the Black Lives Matter campaign is being taken by the Democratic Party. So I don't know. If I lived in Seattle, I don't think I'd be that inclined to go and vote Democrat if their slogan was defund the police. I think I'd be much more inclined to want democracy in the true sense of the word, and law and order. So that's interesting, and the very fact that Ted's radio show is pro-Trump has been kicked out of Seattle should, even to the most hardened, unawake, unaware person, should begin to think, I thought America was the land of freedom. Obviously not. Right, so Let's just try to think about, I think I can say this quite openly, a number of military units towards the border with Canada have been moved to the surrounding areas of Seattle, not into Seattle, around the surrounding areas. And the biker squads, who are got a lot of veterans in there, quite strong patriots, are mobilizing to go en masse to Seattle to basically start a fight with the Antifa left-wing stroke communist group. So that'll be a very interesting one to watch, since the police have basically been told to go soft by their governor. I guess that others are taking the law into their own hands, and that's what happens in America, isn't it, when those who are elected to protect people decide that they don't want to do that. You can't be surprised when others start to do that. So that's really, I think, the points I wanted to bring up. I wanted to get as many questions in as we can. So thank you for your patience, Becky. Let's get going.
Okay, thank you. Yes, we've had a lot of questions.
Yeah, and some of them I think you told me were very good. I haven't through them, but yeah.
I've gone through a few.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is by Neil from Scotland, who says, "Hi, Simon and Becky. Just a simple question, but one that's causing an awful lot of debate. According to Dolores Cannon, not all will ascend, as it's not in their soul contract. And given that all of us who are awake have tried many times over to awaken them without success, do you think that only the awakened will ascend? Or do you think some of the unawakened will eventually join us? Much love to you both and the cats and dog."
Thank you. The first part of the question is really easy to answer, but the second part makes it harder to answer. So the first point, do unawake and unaware people ascend? No, they don't. That's the whole point of becoming awake and aware, is that your higher self, whatever you want to call it, your consciousness, your soul, breaks through the matrix control of your conscious mind. And when you identify your true self as opposed to the programming, then you have won the right to move up. So somebody who is a very good person, they haven't hurt a fly, they're really nice people, but they haven't woken up. No, but second part of your question is, they could at 1 minute to midnight wake up. Somebody who's, you know, looting shops in Seattle, smashing windows, throwing petrol bombs, for a cause that's not actually connected to what it should be about, you know, they're not going to ascend anywhere. But those who live a decent life, but have never experienced a flying saucer, I'm using the word humorously, of course, have never experienced a government ripping them off, have never experienced the power of money in terms of how it can alter the legal system, they've never been challenged. They just accept it and they go along, and they haven't yet had to make the choice. So no, they won't ascend, but at some point there'll be a, don't just imagine a door opening and a door closing and everybody walking through. It's a tailing off process. And so those people will have an opportunity, although it might be 1 minute to midnight, they will have an opportunity to break through the conditioning and the control that we have on all of us and to ascend. So I hope that answers the question. Thank you.
Can I just ask as well, what about children? What about pets? What about, as you said, people who are just very, very heart-centered?
That's fine. I'll answer that. It's about consciousness and the ability to know. A five-year-old child potentially does not know the difference between right and wrong. So they're not expected to make that choice. So that's automatic. Animals, again, are not at that conscious level, generally speaking. Don't confuse intelligence, because a dog and a cat, but a dog can be very intelligent. Don't confuse that with the ability to make choices. So only the human species on land, talk about dolphins, but I'm talking about on land, have the ability to make a choice. And that choice can often be governed not by the natural need to live, but by the, not just a moral judgment, but by the values that that individual has. And that's what singles out humanity above everything else. So when a child becomes self-aware, self-awake, then they're just the same as an adult. But a child that is not yet ready to understand any of that is not going to have to face the choice, as indeed is a cat, a dog, or a bird. So there are certain groups that will automatically transfer across because they're not expected to make that. So from Mother Earth's perspective, the creatures that she carries on her back, I don't know what humanity is, but we just say 99% of everything that lives on the Earth has won a free passage across. But the whole point is about humanity. It's about the choices, because we have this wonderful and difficult existence on this Earth to make a choice when faced with experiences. Okay.
Okay, thank you. This question is from Natalie in Sweden. It's a long one, but I'll read it all. Hello, Simon and Becky. I'm very grateful for all the time you've put down to share your wisdom, knowledge, and experiences with all of us. Such courage, thank you. Ever since I was a little girl, I've been somewhat highly sensitive. I knew things. I woke up a lot during nights, nose bleeding. During teenage years, I had sleep paralysis, out-of-body experiences. In early 20s, I had greys jumping into my room from the window during one sleep paralysis astral night experience and left me with a small scar on my knee. This happened twice. Just the upper layer of skin in the formation of a rectangle with a cut edge, just like one of those chips in mobiles. Well, these scars are today totally bleached. I have always known I'm not from here, thanks to an open-minded and awakened mother. I do Reiki, have crystals, and meditate regularly. I feel a close connection to Earth, though, a love for her. I believe we are all born with a dream to fulfill, or a sense of what fills us with happiness, or to do what we feel is right to do. Getting to the questions.
This is good.
If we are all part of Source, a God, and our blueprint or energy is formed from our first incarnation from Source, is that who we are? The soul or consciousness? Are there angels or are...
Oh, we're getting more questions.
Okay.
Can I just do the okay. first one? First of all, mm-hmm. Great, everything, you know, you're genuine. What you've described to me is absolutely classic. I am not convinced that you're putting a chip into you. I'm more convinced they were taking something out of you. And you said later life it's bleached white. That's classic of one that's been taken out. And you said it happened twice. So it seems to me that one was put in, one was taken out, then it was replaced and it was taken out. So we could possibly have two separate organizations fighting over you, or we could have the first one went in and didn't operate properly, so it was replaced with a second one. That didn't work, and they realized that it's not compatible with your body, therefore they gave up that line. So that's the first part. That's quite exciting. And now I've forgotten all the rest of the questions. What was the second one?
So are we... Is this who we are?
Oh, right. Yes, okay.
The soul or consciousness?
No, when... if you imagine as a nothing, not even a void, because that means no oxygen, let's just imagine nothing. But what that nothing has, it carries the potential to create life. So the great creator, somehow, I don't know how, calls us forth from the nothing into the something. So in other words, we have consciousness. That's such a word that we use so much. We suddenly go from nothing into the world of knowing, into the world of experiencing, not in a physical body, just consciousness. That's our creation. we have already chosen who we are going to be and where we're going to go. So whichever planet or constellation or energy field or people, wherever we go, that is the race that we have chosen to identify with. And so in many lifetimes, millions of years after that, we will hold the energy frequency from that first incarnation. And we may not incarnate physically, we may be just as a what the New Age refer to as a light being or a light body. But that would be the frequency at which our soul will vibrate or resonate. And on our journey down to Earth, we will stop off at some frequencies long enough to take some of that on board. So that very rarely do we find a person who is the epitome of their first choice. And that would make up a large part of them. But let's say somebody comes down and spends 20 million years in the upper fourth dimension in Orion. And originally they were Palladian. So I would see a Palladian soul, but with an overcoat or jacket of Orion. So that person's personality is a reflection of the soul in their body, largely, not totally. And so we could be the absolute copy of where we came from originally, or we may have completely changed and taken on a later lifetime which supersedes that of the earlier one. And that's the only thing with the soul. And there was one more question after that, wasn't there?
Yes. Are there angels, or are angels the same as highly evolved interdimensional beings?
Both. There are true angels. But there are also interdimensionals and lower fourth dimensionals that masquerade as angels. So you could be faced by having to choose which one you think is more beneficial to you, and you know, that's something that we would need a day to talk about. But basically the answer is yes, there are real angels, but there are those that masquerade. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bella says, "Hi Simon and Becky. You are amongst my very favourite people in the world.
Oh, thank you.
My question is from my early childhood that has kept hold on me throughout my life. I lived in the Republic of Georgia when I was about 5 years old. While my mother was teaching a class in middle school, my 7-year-old sister and me went outside to use the restroom. There was no one there as everyone was inside school for their classes. I opened the restroom stall and saw a little man crawling out of the small rectangular manhole outhouse in a small concrete building. It was a dwarf, perfectly clean, even though he was in the dirtiest place, wearing a spotless light suit and an off-white fedora hat, necktie with polka dot pattern. He emerged halfway through the manhole, holding a small briefcase, and beckoned towards him with his hand while giving off a smile. He had wrinkles and looked stocky and middle-aged, his face almost looking square. I rushed out by slamming the door and calling out my sister. We went back in a few seconds
Gone
and
now.
There was nothing. I remember this incident since then as something massively significant. It never went away. Do you know what it was, Simon?
That's fantastic. Thank you ever so much. It's a genuine story. You're telling the truth. That sort of stuff you don't get online. Maybe it's in a book, something similar, but I don't think so. Only people who have genuinely experienced it would be able to do it in such a clear fashion. Thank you. Right. The key for us is the shape of the head. You see, no disrespect, but a lot of people would immediately say that was a grey. because he was little, etc. But that's not what's going on here. You clearly say that the head was squarish or boxish or oblongish, squarish. Right, so what you saw is not is clearly not what was there. To children, the projection into the mind that these creatures will perform is designed to make you focus on the big lie. You know, the old story, if you're going to tell a lie, then, you know, make it a big one. So you remember the polka dot bow tie. This is really interesting because there was a British interviewer, Robin Day, who used to wear a polka dot tie, and some American interviewers used to in the 60s. And he was very clean, although it was a dirty little inspection chamber that he was coming out of. So what you're looking at is actually a hybridized form with a lot of reptilian in it, but we can do even better than that. I can tell you that that was a man in black. Although he wasn't dressed in black, he wasn't a man. Now, people will say, oh, well, Simon, you were just saying that because he's got a fedora hat on. No, I'm not saying it because he's got the squarish face. Now, I've seen these characters, and in the film Frankenstein, and Frankenstein makes the monster, and Frankenstein's monster has a sort of squarish head, and these beings have a connection to Mars, and they are a men in black. But because you were a child, you were not allowed to see the traditional image of the man in black. And also, what they were trying to do was not enforce, because men in black are enforcement. They were trying to engage with you. So it's interesting, this had a briefcase. So he's trying to be the respectable guy. He's got a hat, he's got a briefcase. So he's trying to do that. This is genuine. It's wonderful. Thank you. I'm glad you didn't go towards him, because he was an enforcer. He was clearly up to no good, and you caught him out. So reptilian and man in black, and they just can't help themselves, can they? You know, he's got this fedora hat on, but he didn't have sunglasses. This is the thing. These beings are not like us, and so they don't think like us. And even when they have abducted a million humans, they still don't get it. They still don't understand it. So they'll do things which are inappropriate. They're just a glitch. It just doesn't make sense. You know, who climbs out of an inspection chamber completely clean? You know, if they're really clever, he would have had marks and dirt on him. But that's not how they see. So it's these very mistakes that alert us that what we are seeing is a contrived message that's been sent to our brain. What were you looking at, really? Probably a very tallish being, but the head shape is correct. So thank you, that's excellent. And if you have any others that come back to you, please write in. I would love to air them with other people. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next question is very short, but as invoked quite a lot of response, so I'll read a few of the answers that other people have written.
Oh, okay.
So just a day ago, Mark from the USA asked, is 6G a problem? And quite a few members have responded by saying, absolutely, if 5G is an issue, you can only imagine. But I thought 6G was going to be crystal or quantum and therefore actually okay. So there's a range of answers.
Okay. Surprisingly, as it may seem, there are above the 5G are not offensive. It's unfortunately... okay. In our world, we're in a third dimensional planet. And there's a third, fourth, fifth and sixth dimension. These dimensions are the dimensions of the solid, physical. When you go to the seventh is the bridge between two worlds. It's neither physical nor energy. Then you go eight and so on, and that's the energy world. The problem with 5G is that it's a frequency that is high enough to allow a lower fourth dimensional entity to live within it, and low enough to disrupt the physicality of our bodies, but not high enough so that it would just literally be on a completely different frequency to us, and therefore almost like shoot past us without affecting us. So the higher vibrations of higher G's, I don't like that word, but the higher vibrations actually are not disruptive in the same way that 5G is. Okay? Don't let anybody fool you. You know, the technology on this planet exists for 6 and 7G. Just like, you know, you go and you buy a Blu-ray disc and it's, you know, quite good, or you can get a 4K television and a 4K disc where they're actually already in the secret rooms looking at 15K, 20K. But the way capitalism works is that you milk something for all you can, and then when the sales start dropping off, you then say, hey, we've got 5K or 6K, but you've got up to 15 ready, and you've got 30 years of planning how you're going to distribute this. So if they wanted to move to 6G or 7G or 8G, they could. But no, they don't. They want 5G because, as I've said, it allows an entity to be able to reside within that frequency. So yeah, I think it's a really good debate. So the person who said about the crystal energy, you're not too far off. My opinion, you're not too far off. There are some crystals that vibrate lower range, and some that are almost superluminum, super light speed. But when you reach a certain point, that frequency is such that it can pass through the body without affecting it. You remember in the old days from the books, in the 1920s, when they were talking about the crystal sets of radios, they were saying these waves will pass through you without hurting you. Well, I think that the higher frequencies that we are talking about, that is true. Unfortunately, the ones that we're facing in our lifetimes is not true. Thank you.
Okay. The person who said that they thought it 6G is going to be crystal or quantum, that's actually from Xanthe, who is one of our UK regional coordinators.
Right. Well, you see, look at that. We get really good coordinators across the world, don't we?
Yes. Okay. The next question is from Justin in the USA. Simon and Becky, thanks for being amazing. Does the idea that humans are shadows of 8D beings line up with a holographic expression of our existence? I know it's a big, vague question. Hoping you have insight. Much appreciation.
No. Excuse me. No, not at all. And we are what we are. Whether there's a holographic universe, we exist, we have consciousness, and what we are is the number one go-to being. So anything that's projected on top of us is unwanted and is a travesty of anything. So we're not holographic replicas of something. We are real, sovereign. That's what we are. So no, thank you.
Okay, Rob T says, question for Simon. Some sources I have listened to say that the positive military did make many arrests in Europe, but had to release the cabal members they arrested because the cabal threatened to use a doomsday device. This is similar to what Cobra of the resistance movement had been saying, that there are toplet bombs that must be fully removed before positive forces can take more aggressive action. What is your take on this, Simon?
No, I don't accept any of that. If we were to imagine that was true, then the good forces would never have taken the action because they know they could have triggered the doomsday device. I've heard of these toplet bombs. I have never come across them myself, and no other planetary or interplanetary or outer planetary being has ever mentioned them to me. If there was a doomsday device, you wouldn't do something that would mean you'd have to give your prisoners back, because you know that they would just say, oh, well, if you, you know, don't do it, we'll just activate the doomsday device. So that's it, the logic isn't there. The only doomsday device they had hold of was a dirty bomb, and that's been removed. So what they went for was the virus. That was their doomsday device. But fortunately, it didn't go the way they wanted it to. We've got other things like fake alien invasion to face, the second coming of Christ, whatever. These are the sort of weapons they're now looking at. Because whilst the deep state, the top 1% of the deep state, actually be quite happy for 90% of humanity to be wiped out, the alien group above them would not. If we accept that intelligent aliens of both sides have been warring over this planet for God knows how long, neither side wants to destroy the Earth because it's too valuable to them. From the good side, it's valuable because it allows another living creature, that's you and me, to evolve and make a choice. From the bad side, I've got all these slaves on the planet, and only the human type elite have no use for the human slaves. They don't need them anymore because they don't exist in the same way as these other entities. So this Earth is not going to be destroyed. This Earth is not going to have a real alien invasion. You know, how many times, I'm not being rude, how many times do I have to say this? If we were going to be invaded, it would be when we were running around in loincloths, bows and arrows, and a stone axe. That's when they would have invaded us. Not now we could destroy 3/4 of the planet with our own nuclear weapons. So it didn't happen then, it's not going to happen now. And that's why any alien invasion is a fake. The only other slight element on this is a group that could land and say, the Earth's about to be destroyed, however, we've got the new Earth ready for you, please come on board and we'll take you to the new Earth. And of course, those people who are stupid will go on that spacecraft or spacecrafts, off they go, and then they'll be eaten alive. Now, I know that's really harsh and you don't expect that from me, but it's the truth, and I have to say things sometimes that try to shake people up a bit, because I'm usually quite calm. But this is a really good point. Any alien invasion is fake. Any spacecrafts that land and say will give you a free ride to a better place. This is the Earth. This is the best place. We're here on the Earth. Why would we want to go anywhere else? So I hope that that has answered some of those questions. Thank you.
Well, okay, thank you. The next question, interestingly, was from Fiona in Australia, okay. Queensland. I have heard a few independent sources mention the false flag of the second coming of Christ, where the technology used to create this hologram in the sky will utilise the technology that has been hidden from us for many years. Also mention of a fake alien invasion too. What's your awareness on these, please?
Okay, so, you've already answered that bit. So yes, but I'm now concerned because I brought that topic up, and yet there's the question. Now that may mean there's the energies moving, and that this is, and I've already said that this is a topic that certain people are pushing for. The very fact that that's coming from the group consciousness may mean that it's beginning to seep into the consciousness, which may mean that, you know, it's becoming a critical mass. It sort of tips over, and you know, it's beginning to take shape in the minds of people. Remember that we create our reality, and the elite know that, and so they can sometimes try to get humans to do all the work for them. Yes, it was the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis that the Blue Beam project in its very early stages were going to be tried against Fidel Castro. We saw it again in 9/11 in the Twin Towers. And although the concept of the technology is not dissimilar, the equality is great. It was really difficult. The first problem they had with Bluebeam was to sync the sound in with the vision. In the early days of it, they'd have the vision and the sound would lag behind it. But by the time of the Twin Towers, they were able to put the sound in keeping with the vision. Mm-hmm. So, yep, that's exactly what they would do. And I'll just finish off by saying there are lots of good people in Hollywood. Don't throw stones at me. There really are. There are some very good people in Hollywood. And there are some really downright evil people in Hollywood. The film Independence Day and the second follow-up film pushed into the human consciousness the concept of cities with great big spaceships sitting over them. In other images, there are smaller spaceships, but maybe 1,000. So every major city on the planet with a spaceship sitting over it or a great fleet of ships. It's great films, but unfortunately, just as the school children were practicing for an alien spacecraft crash, so these Hollywood films were beginning to indoctrinate people into the believable concept of vast spacecrafts over your city. So a spacecraft coming to you soon, projected by artificial, very advanced optics, digital technology beyond that. And then they would do the game around it. The question is, could you do that with a man like President Trump? Not likely. So as long as Trump is there, this is unlikely to play out. Not impossible, but unlikely. So thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. I also read that the Phoenix Lights were the holographic image as well, that was being trialled out. And sometimes they'd only need to do the picture, they don't need to have the sound with it because it's completely silent.
Well, in the case of a triangular craft, then yeah, there would be no sound, so that's on the cheap, isn't it? The whole point about the Phoenix Lights was to send an image, a political military image, to all parties, which was, look what we've got. So those who are in the know would say, that's a holograph, that's not real. Those who weren't at that level would say, that's a huge spacecraft. So who's got that? Who's flying that? We don't want to have a problem with them. And there was the inference that there was an arm of human government that had this craft, not an alien craft, human government. So there were some political messages being sent. It wasn't to scare the local people of Phoenix. It was literally to get a big debate, get lots of people seeing it, and the image was, this is what we've got in our weaponry. Now, some people believe that that was Bluebeam, and some people believe it was a real craft. The problem with a real craft is, where do you hide something of that size? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Alison from Florida says, dear Simon, can you comment on the Gregory Hallett situation that is making the rounds, supposedly claiming to be a Grail bloodline heir with claim to the throne, offspring of Anne Boleyn, supposedly not executed? Is this guy legit, a danger, or delusional, looking for attention?
Last one. Simply because I don't think you will have had the chance to look into it. But he did, in this year, 2020, I think in February, he did the equivalent of an affidavit saying that he was from the bloodlines of David, Jewish bloodlines, and that he was Jesus Christ returned. And he was also the King of England. Well, you know what? You could be one. I'm not sure you could be both. So I don't go with it. A gentleman sort of looks a little bit, I don't know, it'd be rude, but from Saudi Arabia or Turkish. I do not buy that story at all. And we have talked about this in Connecting Consciousness with the group, and I have explained that the royal family was hijacked, and there are some people who believe up to King Henry VIII, this was the true line of kings and queens. And then a little while later it went wrong and it was all hijacked. So there are a small group of people who want to return to what they consider the legitimate royal family. And so there was that photoshopped seal that appeared on Buckingham Palace gates. It's not really there, it's photoshopped. And people were saying that the new King of England had come in, and that's why all of the lower windows of Buckingham Palace had all been secured and bolted and boarded up. No, the Metropolitan Police had told the Royal Police, in charge of the Royal Household, there was a real chance of demonstrators climbing the walls of Buckingham Palace and attacking the icon of royalty. And so that's why they boarded it all up, because the Queen moved out to Windsor. So the Queen is currently in Windsor with her royal group, and they just boarded up the windows because they didn't want to be attacked. I thought that would be too much of a temptation. The royal seal supposedly is photoshopped. It's not real at all. And I don't accept that somebody can be both the King of England and Jesus Christ. And there is an affidavit, not through any legitimate court, because no court would accept that. But we have what we call the common courts, which are legitimate, but they're not authorized by the elite, shall we say, of course. And you can say anything you want there. So I don't accept that he's Jesus Christ and the King of England. Thank you.
Okay, okay, thank you. Louise from Canada says, "Hi, Becky and Simon. I have a big question. Yesterday, I have listened to a video who said Obama, Justin Trudeau, Hillary Biden, and many others are actually dead and been replaced by clones. For not to shock many people who will be very confused and won't understand why they have died. Me, I don't understand why there should be even a clone to continue making trouble. The idea was that not enough people are awake. Please can you explain? My mind is not clear on this. Love and blessings to you both."
Thank you. It's a really good question. And there's a lot of nonsense and disinformation and just sort of young spotty kids writing stuff, and really we should be a little bit more careful, you know, some of the stuff that's gone in the last few weeks before we pick it up and run with it, only to find that we've picked up something that was ridiculous and we look a fool. They're not dead. They're absolutely not dead. But there are clones of them, and those clones are kept. And to answer your question, because if you, as a cabal, you have key figures who you've pushed into the mainstream limelight, and the mainstream fall over you and worship you and hold you up as the saviour, the great one, let's say Obama. If he was taken out, they would bring out a clone, because they've invested so much human programming with these characters that it takes years to ingratiate a new cabal stooge with the public. So you've got your stooges, and we would call Obama as one, and actually I'd call Biden as one as well. And if they were legitimately taken out, what would you fill the vacuum with? You need a go-to guy. So you'd have the clone. So they all have clones. And what I would say to you is that those who are in the elite human side, if they're black hats, they have clones. If they're in the elite human side and they're white hats, they have body doubles. So, and I said this, you know, look at the shape of the ear. Look at the nose is sometimes be quite good, but the ears are always very unique. So bad guys tend to have clones because they are organized, and the white hats tend to have body doubles. But that's not, I can't say it's 100%. There are some people who are white hats that have clones simply because there isn't anybody that looks enough like them. You know, that is the case. And it's not just about looking like somebody. You have to have the mannerisms. And the best mimic in the world would never get it 100%, but clones can. So that's the point. No, they're not dead. Absolutely, they're not. And this is what annoys me, because I'm heartily sick of reading from people who say, the war's nearly over. We've nearly won. They're about to be toppled. Or, you know, they're on the run and we've got this. That's nonsense. You've only got to look at the situation in America to understand that the deep elite are still very powerful, still pulling strings. Yes, they're desperate. Yes, they don't have the power they did have, and they are on the losing side. But, you know, they are still very influential, and they are causing problems. They nearly brought down the president with the virus. They didn't come close with the Russian collusion, and they didn't come close with the impeachment, but they jolly well nearly did with the virus. That was, you know, if it hadn't gone off in China and gone off in the US, we might have a very different ball game. So, no, they're not dead, but they do have clones. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Arnie from the Netherlands says, "Hi, Simon and Becky. Maybe this has been asked somewhere before, but I have two BioShield sticks, one at home and one at work. I have them plugged in 24/7. Is it better to unplug them when I'm not there, or doesn't that matter? Much love and thank you for all you do."
Okay, the mistake you're making is you're travelling without one. You've got one at home, one in the office, which means unless your office is your home, I take it it's not, you are travelling without one. So what I suggest you do is you keep the one in the home on and the other one in your pocket, and then when you go to the office, you take it out of your pocket and you put it in, and that will protect you. Remember that you may have pets at home. There may be birds in the close vicinity of your house. I'd leave it in. When you're at work, I'd leave it in. It does do no harm whatsoever. But I think you should be carrying it with you when you journey from one place to another. Thank you. Next question.
Okay, thank you.
There was a question I seem to remember, because, I mean, you did mention to me about, you said to me, do you know about this rat? Do you remember?
Oh,
and I said,
gosh.
Rat? That was a rat about Elon Musk, you were saying. And I thought, well, that's an interesting one, because we didn't know a little about it. So I just talk about that while you're finding where your place is.
I found the question on that. So Helen from the UK.
See, I knew you
says,
were on that one.
Can you discuss, no, this is quite a long way down, can you discuss the alleged rat seen clearly on the NASA Elon Musk manned launch?
Yeah.
Also, my friend in the USA told me the following, which seems to fit from researching over the years. Can Simon share his views?
Okay.
Ah, okay, that's something else. So, yeah.
But that's the one I knew you were going to read, or you were on to it.
Yes. And then the next question, actually, two people have asked that, so I'll read the next bit out as well.
Oh, okay, go on.
But after. No, do the...
Oh, right,
the...
Okay, well, all right. Yeah. Well, it's, first of all, it's NASA footage. So that absolutely removes any possibility of faking it, photoshopping it, doing anything like that. That's the beauty with live feeds from NASA. You know, you just can't alter them. So that's great. Right. I'm not a rodent expert. And see, the dog is growling when I said rodent. So obviously wants to go chasing rodents.
She said the word rat and it's working
yeah,
up. It's
well,
rolling
the cat,
around the floor.
Cats get them, not the dog. So when I looked at that footage, I thought it was a robotic rodent. I thought it was robotic. But when Becky looked at it, you know, we'd seen it a few days before, she said it looks real. So, first of all, I can't tell whether it's real or robotic. But that actually doesn't matter. What's really important is that if any of you enterprising audience can get the measurements for that part of the spacecraft, and then take it that, first of all, it's a rat, and then how many inches or centimeters is your average rat, or if it's a mouse, and then you can work out just how big that bit of the spacecraft is. Now, regardless of anything, I don't believe that that rocket or that spaceship was actually anywhere except in a studio. If it's a real rat, it would not be able to survive in space. If it's a robot rat, why is there a robot rat going round and round a spacecraft? Could it be that somebody in NASA, sick to the back teeth with having to lie to the public, has organized something just like they did with the supposed moon landings, where these strange anomalies, which should have been picked up but never were allowed to go out? So I think the jury's out. Is it real rat? Is it a robotic rat? Was it deliberately placed in there and the footage left in so that enterprising people like Connecting Consciousness members could pick it up and call foul? Or are we looking at a complete mistake where this spacecraft is, of course, just sitting in a warehouse? The warehouse is infested with rats, and of course one happens. Now, the only thing that I would say is that it was white. That barking is not this dog. Don't think that a rat has bitten the dog, okay? That's a dog outside. But it looked like a lab rat because it was white. And I don't know why lab rats are always white. Maybe because the scientists who torture these animals, I'm so sorry if you're a scientist and you keep lab rats, but they don't really like you, but they have white coats. So maybe these scientists feel better because the rat has a white body and they have a white coat. So I was suspicious that it was a white rat or mouse. Why couldn't it have been a spotted mouse or a blotched mouse? Something funny going on. And it tickled my fancy. I really like it. So I'm going to go for this is a spacecraft like 2001, Stanley Kubrick. It's sitting in a warehouse and they've mocked it all up because the real one blew to pieces a few hundred miles up, and they still wanted tax dollars to keep the project going. So I tell you what we'll do. We'll mock it up. We'll do a live feed. And oh my God, there's a rat on there. Oh, well, nobody will notice. Okay, next question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So Pam from North Carolina in the US, and also the other lady, Helen, from the UK, asked this. I'm starting to hear lately from individuals that I've been listening to for years that Trump is connected with the Rothschilds. This connection is both lineage and through financial backing. This has been very disturbing since I support him. Time keeps passing and nothing's being released to the public while they continue their agenda. I appreciate your insight, and this question is specifically from Pam in the US.
Okay. If President Trump was controlled by those people that you have concerns about, I can assure you that the elite newspapers would be telling you how good he was. There wouldn't be demonstrations of the like that we're seeing. They wouldn't have tried to impeach him. They wouldn't have had the Russian hoax. They wouldn't be trying to kill him. They wouldn't be trying to kill the First Lady, because they would control him. You, as an elite, only attack those you don't control. So that answers the question. I will carry on, but I mean, that should just answer it, wallop. Trump is a businessman, and like Arnold Schwarzenegger, he made his money from real estate and shrewd deals, and the Rothschilds are the bankers. So in many cases, either directly or more likely indirectly, you are receiving loans from the Rothschilds, indirectly or directly. Does that make you a bad person? No, it doesn't. What makes you a bad person is hurting children. What makes you a bad person? There are other things as well. And I've always said that President Trump hasn't done that. So, no, he's not controlled by these people. He's the leader of America, which means if somebody with a multi-trillion dollar empire says to him, listen, do me a favor, and if you don't do me a favour, I'm going to make life really difficult for you. Trump might say, look, you know, it's election year, I'm fighting enough battles, I just give in. I'll let him have that because, you know, it's not a big deal for me. That doesn't mean he's a bad person. It means, like a chess player, he's looking at the chessboard and thinking, well, I can sacrifice that pawn, but I certainly can't lose my bishop or my knight. And so I'll come back to that point, that if Trump was in any shape or form an Obama or a Clinton or any of those others, the newspapers would be pushing for his re-election. I mean, the BBC, one of the worst medias on the planet at the moment, hates Trump, absolutely despises him, and it's British. You think that a foreign country would be more balanced in its views, but they're all controlled by the same elite people. So if President Trump was sitting to tea with these people, they would then be doing everything they could to support him. But they don't. So no, the answer is no. And don't let yourself be swayed by fakery and fake news and just disinformation. Okay, the day that the Washington Post turns round and says, what have you, or the New York Times says this, or the BBC says that, and all the major newspapers and the major television stations say that Donald Trump is the best thing since sliced bread, that's the time to worry. Okay. And do we have any more questions?
Oh, there's lots and lots more questions. Well, I'll ask a couple more. Anne-Marie from the United States says, Simon, is the entire galaxy a matrix run by AI, including reptilians, Dracos, the Archons, and the hybrid humanoid AI Anunnaki and Nordics? And if so, are the gates open for us to leave when we die? I believe ascension and dimensions are part of the false AI reality. Thank you.
Right. Dimensions are a bit like chakras in the body. They can be manipulated, but they have a role to play. Ascension is not manipulation. Ascension is freedom. It is about the only way that humanity can escape. If we look at the Pleiades, Pleiadian people, traditionally with blue eyes, not always blonde hair, fifth dimensional. They didn't just appear in the fifth dimension. They were like us. They were third dimensional. And then through their own striving and their own efforts, the Palladians evolved from the third dimension into the fourth, and then from the fourth into the fifth. That is freedom. That is the movement, and you break out of the control. Humanity is sitting in the third dimension. We will not sit in the fourth, the lower fourth and the upper fourth. We will break through that. We will spend more time in the upper fourth, but we will then go into the fifth. Because when we transcend this third dimensional world, we are also transcending the control system, which is lower fourth dimensional energy. So holographic, yes, in the sense that the reality that we're given is an experience which the great creator has made for us. But the problems that we face, we could turn that to the choices we face are genuine and real, and the decisions we make are genuine and real. Otherwise, we would say this is like a comic book. I'll read it, have a good laugh, and I'll throw it away because I don't need to engage with it. It has no effect on me. That's not what we're doing here. What we're engaging with is creating who we are and how we evolve in the years to come. Nordics. Reptilians are all part of this great game in the sense that they are all in the dimensional field. They are all attempting to evolve. Even the reptilians secretively want to escape but cannot. And remember, that's the great pull of humanity. We can do things that these other creatures are Well, they've lost the capability of doing that. So greys are fascinated with the genetics of humans because they hope that the evolutionary connection between greys and humans can somehow transmit into a transcendence of energy to allow other races to move up. It's not going to happen, because if you are fundamentally evil, you are not going to evolve. And it's this blind scientist mentality that for eons stares at the workbench, stares at the test tubes, and says, I've done this 50 trillion times, but maybe when I put the blue juice into the red juice, I might just get the reaction I want. Whereas what this creature needs to do is to look inside his or herself and say, if I stop oppressing this other group, actually, I don't need the workbench and the chemicals. I will naturally evolve myself. And that's the point, that until a group consciousness comes to a set decision, they can't move forward. So I hear what you're saying. You've got well entangled in that. Bring yourself out from there and appreciate that the choices of the universe are real, and not everything is a trap. And will we ascend? Absolutely we will, if you believe in the truth and you try and practice as best you can, you have every chance to do it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to finish on a good question. I'd like to read, I know they are all good, but I'd just like to read someone else's answer
first before you do yours. That's okay.
Okay, so
what's the this dog question, doing?
She's trying to make herself a bed with her blanket. Okay, she's just rearranging the blanket.
Oh, that's fine. That's not like a cat at all. Cats don't do that, go on.
Yes. So Jacob
rodents
from...
Rodents do that. I've seen rodents do that with straw. Go on.
Yes. Jacob from the Isle of Wight in the UK says, dear Simon and Becky, infinite thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
I wonder if we could revisit the topic of whether Donald Trump is working for the White Hats. I actually raised this topic once before when Trump first became president. I am paraphrasing here, but back then David Icke had stated that he did not believe Trump to be independent and implied he was just another avatar for the cabal or dark hats. I'm still seeing a lot of polarisation around this topic, and wonder if you could reaffirm your position on whether he really is one of the good guys. Love and light, Jacob. Now, this has received quite a lot of interest.
I'm sure.
And Fiona from Australia posted this, that she found this, and the article is Trump Does the Unthinkable by Liz Crokin. And Liz Crokin is an entertainment journalist. And she writes, as an entertainment journalist, I've had the opportunity to cover Trump for over a decade. And in all my years covering him, I've never heard anything negative about the man until he announced he was running for president. Keep in mind, I got paid a lot of money to dig up dirt on celebrities like Trump for a living. So a scandalous story on the famous billionaire could have potentially sold a lot of magazines and would have been a huge feather in my cap. Instead, I found that he doesn't drink alcohol or do drugs. He's a hard-working businessman. On top of that, he's one of the most generous celebrities in the world, with a heart filled with more gold than his $100 million New York penthouse. Since the media has failed so miserably at reporting the truth about Trump, I decided to put together some of the acts of kindness he's committed over three decades, which have gone virtually unnoticed or fallen on deaf ears. In 1986, Trump prevented the foreclosure of Annabelle Hill's family farm after her husband committed suicide.
Yeah.
Trump personally phoned down to the auction to stop the sale of her home and offered the widow money. Trump decided to take action after he saw Hill's pleas for help in the news reports. In 1988, a commercial airline refused to fly Andrew Ten, a sick Orthodox Jewish child with a rare illness.
Right, yeah.
across the country to get medical care because he had to travel with an elaborate life support system. His grief-stricken parents contacted Trump for help, and he didn't hesitate to send his own plane to take the child from Los Angeles to New York so he could get his treatment. In 1991, 200 Marines who served in Operation Desert Storm spent time at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina before they were scheduled to return home to their families. However, the Marines were told that a mistake had been made and an aircraft would not be able to take them home on their scheduled departure date. When Trump got wind of this, he sent his plane to make two trips from North Carolina to Miami.
I know all these.
Do you? To safely
keep going.
Return.
The audience may not
Gulf,
be going.
I don't. Gulf War Marines, their loved ones. Mm. In 1995, a motorist stopped to help Trump after the limo he was travelling in got a flat tyre. Trump asked the Good Samaritan how he could repay him for his help.
No, he asked him what his name was, first of all, but go on.
Yeah, okay, so all the man asked for was a bouquet of flowers for his wife. A few weeks later, Trump sent the flowers with a note that read, "We've paid off your mortgage."
Yeah.
Okay, in 1996, it goes on, but I'll read this as
no, well. No, I want them out because people will not have access. And I'm going to shut up now, but basically everything you've read out I'm aware of, which means it's true, but I won't comment anymore. There may be some I don't know, so please just carry on. Because it's really important stuff.
So in 1996, Trump filed a lawsuit against the city of Palm Beach, Florida, accusing the town of discriminating against his Mar-a-Lago Resort Club because it allowed Jews and blacks. Abraham Foxman, who was the Anti-Defamation League director at the time, said Trump put the light on Palm Beach, not on the beauty and the glitter, but on its seamier side of discrimination. Foxman also noted that Trump's charge had a trickle-down effect because other clubs followed his lead and began admitting Jews and blacks. In 2000...
Admitting,
yeah, yes.
You said admitting, as in light, admitting.
Oh, admitting Jews and blacks
just
to the clubs, yes.
Because of the sentence.
Okay. In 2000, Maury Povich featured a little girl named Megan who struggled with brittle bone disease on his show, and Trump happened to be watching. Trump said the little girl's story and positive attitude touched his heart, so he contacted Maury and gifted the little girl and her family with a very generous check. In 2008, after Jennifer Hudson's family members were tragically murdered in Chicago, Trump put the Oscar-winning actress and her family up at his Windy City Hotel for free. In addition to that, Trump's security took extra measures to ensure that Hudson and her family members were safe during such a difficult time.
I didn't know that one.
Okay. In 2013, New York bus driver Darnell Barton spotted a woman close to the edge of a bridge, staring at the traffic below as he drove by. He stopped the bus, got out, put his arm around the woman and saved her life by convincing her not to jump. When Trump heard about this story, he sent the hero bus driver a check, simply because he believed his good deed deserved to be rewarded.
So exactly what he said. Yeah. What he actually said was, "I believe this good deed needs to be rewarded." Plus these exact words. So either the person knows that and they've used those words, or it's just chance that's come out. Go on.
Okay, do you know, this goes on a long time.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Should I finish off by saying Donald Trump's kindness knows no bounds, and his generosity has and continues to touch the lives of people from every sex, race and religion.
Yeah.
When Trump sees someone in need, he wants to help. Two decades ago, Oprah asked Trump in a TV interview if he'd ever run for president. He said, "If it got so bad, I would never want to rule it out totally because I'm really tired of seeing what's happening with this country."
Yeah.
That day has come. Trump sees that America is in need and he wants to help. How unthinkable.
Right. Listen, look, what we're going to do, if you please, can work with Andy, and I'd like to get that on the website. All of that. On the website, so we can get that all out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your answer for you. Do you honestly think the US military, which actually is very, very full of good guys, would have gone to anybody to front up against Hillary Clinton and to take on the blood-sucking cabal, anyone other than someone like Trump. So that was really great. That's a really nice way. And I think what's terribly desperately sad is that the information that that journalist managed to get would not be published by a single establishment media feed anywhere, because they are A, paid huge amounts of money by the other side, B, many of them are blackmailed, and C, many of them are in fear of their lives or their families' lives. And, you know, it's not something that's publicized. President Trump is a good person. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have tried, and in most cases was successful, not in all, but in most cases, and sprung these kids from these underground bases. Don't expect to see that on the front page of the newspaper. There are many people. I remember once in a taxi, there was a young guy in his mid-20s, and he said that when he was 16, 17, 18, he was really into UFOs, and he's not now. And I said to him, well, why is that? And he said, oh, because it's never on the news. And I think that's the difference between somebody who has a fascination for a subject and someone who's looking for the truth. You see, if you have a fascination in a subject, it burns out after a while and you go on and maybe play golf or do something else. But if you're seeking the truth, you don't give up until you find the truth. And once you find the truth, how can you ever go back? If you've been locked in a dark room and someone opens it and you can go out and you see the trees and the rivers and the sea and everything, why would you want to go back in the dark room again? Right, listen, it's been lovely to have the chance to talk to you. And we will get that up on the screen because it's really worthwhile, and there may be stuff there that I've definitely not seen. Thank you so much for taking the trouble to listen. Thank you for not giving in and seeking the truth, being true to yourself. And you know, we'll just see where we go with it from day to day. It is exciting, it is concerning, but we're never going to be fearful. We're not going to end up as blubbering bits of jelly, you know, going to pieces. We'll get through this. Thanks very much indeed. And the dog is behaving herself now, so that's great.
And she's settled.
She has. See you later. Okay.